everyone. This is episode number 64 of Rewatchable. Today we've gathered together each host's thoughts on Pushing Daisies as a whole. Whether they were newbies or superfans, they're here to tell you exactly what they thought of the show now that we've made it through both seasons. Since I'm already here, I'll go first. My name is Karen, and I was a newbie for Pushing Daisies. Going into the show, I didn't really know anything about it. I tried to stay away from learning even the minutest fact because I wanted to go into it as fresh as possible. I guessed it had something to do about dead people since the show was called Pushing Daisies, but that was basically as far as I had gotten. Overall, I liked the premise of the show. I think the idea of it is really interesting, that you have a guy who has the power to bring people back to life, but that there are consequences. Ned's childhood experiences dictated a lot of his decisions as an adult, and I liked that he was also hyper aware that his actions had consequences. Throwing in the idea of him working with Emerson to solve crimes gave the show a purpose and a consistency that I think it needed. But while I liked the overall idea of the show, I think its implementation was a little hard to digest at times. That doesn't mean I think the show is bad, it just means that I had trouble taking it seriously. I know it was supposed to be funny and a little over the top, but sometimes that took me right out of the show. I think if they had taken it a little more seriously, the show would have benefited from that, and they still could have kept the humor and ridiculous situations that seemed to be a hallmark of the show. There were plenty of things I did like, though. I've said it before, but the dialogue in the show was astounding. It wasn't just about which words were used, but the way in which they were delivered. All of the actors on the show were on point, and I think Ned and Emerson's characters were the best at doing those monologues that were more like tongue twisters than anything else. While I know some people took issue with Ned, I really did like his character, and I liked him with Chuck. They had an interesting relationship, and it wasn't easy by any means. I think I could have done with less of Olive's interest in Ned, but as an individual character, she really grew on me from the beginning of the show and ended up being one of my favorites. The same can go for Emerson, who I think started out as a gruff and unlikable character and actually grew into his humanity organically enough that it sort of snuck up on you. As soon as the fact surfaced that he had a daughter, he ceased to become a character used for his humor and to get in between Ned and Chuck and began to be a three-dimensional person. The second season was by far better than the first, with a more succinct storyline and harder-hitting plots than we saw in the initial 9 episodes. The show had some of the best episodes toward the end of the second season, and I think it's a tragedy that they had to end it there. I feel like they were really finding their stride at this point, and if they had been given a third season, it would have been their best yet. I wish I knew more about these characters. I would have liked to have explored more of Ned's power and exactly how it worked. I would have loved to have seen Chuck interacting with her aunts and seen more of their reactions to her being alive, or alive again, depending on how Ned explained her presence. I truly wish that Ned had confided in Olive about his powers and that she could have become part of the gang and helped them out on cases more often. I also would have liked to have seen her with Randy Mann more and watched their relationship blossom. I wish we got to see Emerson meeting his daughter at the end of the finale, and I want to find out what kind of relationship he could have had with her. And last, but certainly not least, I wish we knew more about Ned's father and what he's been up to all this time. I'm still banking on the fact that he was a super secret spy and not just a terrible human being. So I guess my final thought on the matter is that Pushing Daisies was good, but it could have been a whole lot better. The final episode in the series was not satisfying, but it was clear that the writers were doing everything they could to try to give us some closure, and I can't really blame them for that. Maybe someday Pushing Daisies will come back to us with some new episodes. If that happens, I'm definitely willing to give it the benefit of the doubt and see where they take the show. Before I close off here, I just want to thank the other hosts for sticking around on this crazy ride. We had a lot of people this time, and it was difficult getting everyone's schedules aligned, but everyone pulled their own weight and stuck with it even when things got nuts. I have to give a special shout out to Caitlin, who helps me keep everyone organized. I'd be so lost without you, Caitlin. And thanks again to everyone else who joined me on this 3.5 month project. I'm so excited that some of you will be sticking around for the next show, and sad that some of you will be leaving us. Hopefully it won't be forever, and you'll come back for a new round soon.
Hey, I'm Christine. I was a newbie this season. So I have to say that I
found myself a lot more sad when the series came to an end than I originally thought I was going to be. I started off really disliking the characters. I was all about the color scheme, all about the concept, but I just never really caught on to the Chuck-Ned romance. I never caught on to Chuck herself. I still am not a fan of Chuck. Ned, to me, was annoying, but Lee Pace is so freaking adorable that it really offset how annoying he was. But I really think that he developed towards the end of the series, but Chuck never really did. But I wish it just had happened a lot sooner. Like, I wish they had cut out the entire middle of season one and the beginning of season two, where, like, nothing really happened. Like, some things were important, like finding out about Chuck's mom and everything, but just a lot more filler episodes, and the case-to-case wasn't intriguing to me. I never was, like, sucked in to the case and felt like I had to know. I was more like, where's Olive? Where's Emerson? I was always so much more interested in the reoccurring characters, like Alfredo. I wish he was in more than two episodes, and Randy, who, I don't know, I might be the only person who loved Randy, but I was very into Randy. Even Simone, like, wasn't in it enough for me. But I found these characters to be so much more interesting than Ned and Chuck some of the times. One thing I kind of want to point out, and I pointed this out on the first episode I was on, was how much it reminded me of this French film, Amelie. And as the series went on, it was just too kind of coincidental, the whole thing was. So the other night I actually looked up, like, comparisons, see if anyone else had kind of said anything about that on Google or anything. And I actually saw, I came across kind of Brian Fuller, the creator. He actually, Amelie is his favorite movie, and he actually based the entire show off of Amelie and the world of Amelie. He said, I have this written down, really sad things happen in it, but you never get bogged down in the sadness. Like Daisies, it's really about human kindness. And you can really see the influences, not only in that theme, but also in the color scheme, the use of the narrator, and the general whimsy of the entire show. So I have to say, if you liked Pushing Daisies, or even if you didn't, I couldn't recommend Amelie more. It's on Netflix instant. It is in French, but there are subtitles, and I guarantee everyone will like it. So you should definitely check that out. But that's kind of a side point. But back to my feelings on the show. I would have to say, end of the day, I did enjoy it. Especially towards the very end of the series. The character development wasn't there fast enough, but when it did get there, you could see how special the show really was, and it became such a gem that it makes me sad that it came to an end, because it was finally hitting its stride and starting to know who it was, and I wish I could see more of it. So if something does end up happening with the show, sort of post-mortem, I will definitely tune in to that, whatever medium it ends up on.
Hey everybody, it's Danielle. I was a newbie on this go-around of the Rewatchable podcast, and we were, of course, watching Pushing Daisies, and so I just wanted to send you off with a few of my final thoughts, although I'm sure you heard them a little bit in the episode that we had just put out last week. So basically, Pushing Daisies, I wouldn't say is one of my favorite shows. I did enjoy it. As we were watching it, I know it didn't come across that way, especially in the beginning, but I did really enjoy it towards the end. I think that it definitely wasn't served well by the writer's strike, and that if they had really kind of hit their stride earlier in season two or even in season one, I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more. And it may have helped it out a little bit in getting renewed. I'm not exactly sure. But I really liked the characters in season two towards the second half with that nun episode and on. I liked their development after that. I loved the overarching stories when they had them. The Mysteries of the Week kind of got tired a little bit for me, but sometimes they were interesting. And when they did have something to do with, like, this overarching theme or overarching story, I really enjoyed that. I loved Emerson's character. I think he's my favorite coming out of this. And I also loved Olive. She was super fun, and I wish we could have seen more of her kind of doing what she does best and not pining as much, I guess. But yeah, so I'm glad that I watched Pushing Daisies. I'm glad that I could watch it alongside a lot of my friends. And I'm glad I could talk about it with them. And I'm glad I could talk about it a little bit with you guys. And while I back my opinions and I don't take back anything that I've said, but I am sorry if you didn't like people ragging on a show that you feel so passionate about. I just wanted to put that out there. I know that that's always my fear when I'm introducing people to my favorite shows, is that they're not going to like it. And so I understand completely if I wasn't your favorite voice to hear this go around on Rewatchable, but thanks for bearing with me. And I really did enjoy Pushing Daisies, especially towards the end. And I just wanted to let you know that. And while it may not be my favorite show, I do think that Pushing Daisies was gone too soon. And I would like to see some sort of revival of it. Not so much a musical, because I actually didn't enjoy the musical elements. But as some sort of stage play, that would be fantastic. Even a, not a reboot, but a continuation of the show on something like Netflix or Yahoo seems to be picking up things now. So anything like that, I would like to see a revival of it, because yes, I do believe it was gone too soon. So those are my two cents. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Brandy. I'm back on Rewatchable discussing Pushing Daisies. I was a newbie this season, or this episode, this group, whatever you want to call it. Had a very awesome time with some good people discussing the show that I had no idea what was going to be like when I first got myself into it. But I can say now that I have officially finished the last couple of episodes that I was very happy with how it ended. I mean, I'm upset with all of the questions that I have. I mean, we still don't know how Ned got his powers or really anything other than the fact that he has them. I mean, is it hereditary? Is he the only one who has them? Does he know any? I mean, will he ever find out? Ever? Yeah, we won't know. Also, we'll never find out what happened to Chuck's dad. That just came to mind. Huh. And he stole their car. Okay, so Chuck came out, I guess you could say, to her aunts at the end, which was pretty cool. I was really hoping that was going to happen. I wish we could see more of the aftermath of that, but, you know, things happen. I'm still kind of miffed at the fact that Olive was still never in the know about Ed bringing people back. I mean, I feel that she deemed herself worthy of knowing, you know? She helped out Emerson. She was his little, she was his itty bitty. And it just, it makes me sad to know that they couldn't trust her with that. Emerson is back with his daughter, or his daughter came back. I really hope that she ends up liking his little gumshoe books, because I would like to read them, to be honest. I've always liked pop-up books, so I think that's pretty cool. I'm gonna miss Emerson's awesome one-liners. I actually have used a couple of them in my day-to-day at work with a couple of coworkers, so I will miss getting to hear a few more of those. I would have liked to have one more season of the show, just to answer some of our questions. It just, there's so many questions. There's so many questions. And we're just never gonna know. So I had very big issues with Chuck and Ned's character development at first. And towards the end of the season, I just ended up really appreciating who they are. And I think that they ended up winning me over. So, good for them. I'm gonna miss talking about this with the other groups of people, but we'll see what comes along next. Until next time, bye.
Hey guys, superfan Brittany here. I rejoined Rewatchable Pushing Daisies because my initial watch was strictly a result of the fact that Kristen Chenoweth had a starring role on television. If my first go at a rewatchable podcast taught me anything, it is that behind what is beautiful and quirky often lurks a darker theme waiting to come out. At the time I watched the show initially, I definitely did not pick up on half of the topics we discussed on these podcasts. I can firmly state that I appreciate the work of Brian Fuller and the writers of Pushing Daisies much more, especially with all the drama that went on behind the scenes. Dealing with the writer's strike left the show at a virtual standstill, and a makeshift finale launched a shaky second season. Not being able to see their vision come to life, or even have time to figure out what that vision was for themselves, they did not ruin their drive to hold on to the 22-episode pipe dream of season 2, following quite the award nominations from only having a 9-episode season 1. At the end of the day, the show still turned out the bizarre town and the sharp, often dark comedy that was truly one of a kind. I definitely look forward to any more work in the Pushing Daisies world, whether it be Broadway or a miniseries revival, to give the show a touch of life, pun completely intended. This time around, the comedic timing of not only the line delivery, but the physicality of the actors truly impressed me. Olive trying to open the tomb and Emerson Codd fleeing from the funeral home are two that stick out for me the most. Also, for a show with such an uphill struggle, the guest stars they acquired were definitely an A+. As for whether I like the show more or not, I'd say I like it just the same. Except for my feelings on Lee Pace's face, they have increased tenfold, but we can take to Twitter to discuss that. If anything made me appreciate the way I feel about the show more, it was through listener comments and the observations of my co-hosts. Except when we tried to figure out the science. Never try to figure out the science. I also don't think I'll ever look at Pi the same way. So thanks for making my first run at a rewatchable podcast such a pleasure, and I look forward to joining you all for Avatar next.
Hi everyone, this is Caitlin, one of the Pushing Daisies newbies. My final impression of the series was that it started well, it had a lot of potential with these really interesting visuals and modern day fairy tale that it had going on, but it kind of quickly fell into a lull with mysteries of the week that were maybe not so interesting and kind of relying on the audience to care about characters who were maybe not super relatable yet. So it was hard to enjoy too much at that point. But I think when season 2 rolled around, the show really found its stride, had more character development, and saw some really interesting ongoing plot lines, which I was really hoping it would get to at some point, you know, with Dwight Dixon and Charles, and even Ned's father, though that didn't end up being resolved by the end. But what I really loved, especially about season 2, was how we started seeing these different combinations of characters working together, which really kept things interesting. So we were seeing, you know, Ned and Olive, we were seeing Chuck and Emerson, we were seeing Emerson and Olive working together. This really brought out new dynamics and new sides to the characters, which helped with this interesting development. It told us more about these characters and helped me invest in them as characters, and then also in the mysteries of the week that I might not have loved so much otherwise because I was more interested in how the characters were being affected by it. Like I said, I liked the whole kind of modern day fairy tale idea, but I think the show could have played with kind of the fairy tale tropes a little more than it did. It really had the chance to be kind of this really subversive series, and it started in some ways doing that, and it probably would have done more had it not been canceled so early. And overall, I think there's a whole lot to love about the show. There are still some problematic elements. I'm still not sure. I love how the show treated its female characters, though it did have a lot of variety, which is more than many shows can say. But yeah, I can definitely say I'm glad I stuck with it, because once it found its footing, it was a very enjoyable series, and I am going to miss Emerson and him hanging out with his itty-bitty Olive, because those two are adorable. Thanks, guys.
Hello, this is Colleen, one of the Pushing Daisies super fans. I was super excited to get involved in Rewatchable's rewatch of Pushing Daisies because I watched the show when it was first on and adored it and mourned its passing when it was prematurely canceled. I've been meaning to watch it again ever since, but hadn't gotten around to it, so this was pretty much the perfect opportunity. Rewatching the show has been wonderful. The elements of the show that stuck out in my memory were still just as wonderful, and I was reminded of so many other great things about it as I revisited that little world of Kerr to Kerr. I still think the show was just basically a tragic victim of terrible timing, with the writer's strike not allowing it to get its footing or, you know, to tell the stories the way that they were meant to be told. I also still think that it was such a unique show and unlike anything that had been on television before or since. I don't think a show has ever existed that I have so badly wanted to live inside of its little world. Everything about it is so beautiful and wonderful and quirky, and I wish the real world were more like the Pushy Daisies world. And really, the talent is just ridiculous. Lee Pace, Anna Friel, Chai McBride, Kristen Chenoweth, Susie Kurtz, Ellen Green. Can someone please just cast them all together on a television show again? I don't care what it is. It could be anything. I would watch it with all of them. It would be magical. I fell in love with all of them on this show if I didn't already love them. And I will love them forever and follow them in whatever new projects they have. I'm always so excited to see them in anything. I'm still waiting on that Pushing Daisies musical. I will wait forever. Rewatching the show as part of the Rewatchable podcast was a very different experience than I had thought it would be, in large part because I never in my life ever imagined that anyone could possibly dislike anything about Pushing Daisies. It has sort of been baffling every week the way some of the newbies to the show have reacted to some elements of Pushing Daisies. I don't hold it against them because I have a tendency to end up hating things that everyone else seems to love, in part because my expectations have been set so high. And I think that might have been part of the problem, because some people came into this expecting it to be a different show than it was, and I know that can be kind of hard to get past. But I think it actually made for a more interesting experience, at least for me, and I imagine and I hope a more interesting podcast, because instead of everyone just drooling over how wonderful everything was and everyone was and the story's so great and everything's so wonderful, we actually got to, you know, break down the episodes and particular scenes and storylines and characters and talk about how certain things were received and how people reacted to things and why they felt that way. And it was great because, for the most part, I feel like everyone had good things to say. They had intelligent arguments and good points to make. And it was interesting to hear their opinions and the way certain elements of the show were received just so completely differently by others than they had ever been by me. That said, it only made me love the show even more. Getting my chance to argue in defense of Pushing Daisies and defend why I felt this way or that and loved this scene or storyline or character or whatever, it just made me fall even more in love with it. I will continue to love and mourn this show forever and will recommend it to anyone and everyone in hopes that they will be able to love it as much as I have and as much as I hope that all of you have enjoyed it as well. So, yeah, this has been great, and peace out, everyone. Enjoy Avatar.
Hey, this is Danya. I joined Rewatchable this time around as a super fan. Yeah, my opinions on the show are kind of a little bit more polarizing than they were when I originally watched Pushing Daisies. I think it's been a very, very long time since I last watched Pushing Daisies, so you're talking a good 4 or 5 years since the last time I sat down and really watched it from start to finish. And it's been a very different experience watching it with a group of people who didn't all kind of enjoy it and were more, I guess, critical, but criticizing it, but not in a bad way, in a good way that made me look at it a little bit differently than I may have the first time around. I mean, a lot of what I loved about Pushing Daisies is still true. So I'm still very, very into the fact that it has a very diverse, very strong female cast that those female characters all have very, very amazing professional jobs. That it, like, for example, the ants were professional traveling show performers that had, like, the kind of gritty sexual scandals the way men usually get in their storylines. And I love that, you know, Chuck is probably the most optimistic character that you could possibly ever get. And the other female character that we have is a former professional jockey. And, you know, it's very, very rare to have very successful, very prominent, very professional female characters heading up your show. And obviously on the male side, though both Emerson and Ned had, like, kind of, yeah, they're professionals. Yes, Emerson has a typically masculine job. Their actual hobbies are kind of non-masculine, which was a very, very refreshing take. I mean, I loved it. I still love it. And I still love that the way that it skews that kind of expectation of what you would think you were going to see versus what you actually see. So I'm still very, very much into that. Still love the show for what it's done in terms of, like, representation. And it was at a time where, you know, it wasn't typically being done. But in the same aspect, I started really dissecting and really looking at the plot points and what I'd found maybe a little bit quaint and charming before as I was slightly younger, kind of took on a little bit of a different spin now that I'm slightly older and I've gone through a few more relationships that kind of have mimicked a little bit of what's happened on the show, and that may have colored my own reading of the text, which isn't to say that's necessarily a bad thing, but I definitely view the show in a more critical way now, and I'm kind of thankful for Rewatchable for doing that. And I'm sure that if I did a third rewatch, I would probably see it differently again. And I may actually come back to the show in, say, a couple of months' time and maybe appreciate it in a different way again. But yeah, still do like Pushing Daisies. Maybe don't love it as much as I did, because, you know, that nostalgia filter is still very much there sometimes when you come back to a show after not having watched it for a long time. So without that, it definitely did change how I felt about the show. But again, yeah, I would still call myself a fan of Pushing Daisies despite all that.
Hey, Rewatchable listeners, this is Mitch, and I was a newbie for Pushing Daisies, and you're going to probably hear some fireworks behind me because I'm recording this on the 4th of July in America, so I guess that's all good and fun, and my thoughts on the show itself. So, I really liked Kristen Chenoweth as much as I thought I was going to, right from that one moment when it was revealed on our first Pushing Daisies podcast for Rewatchable that she was going to be on this show. So I really appreciated her songs. I know that some of our other hosts didn't, but they honestly made it for me. There were a lot of moments when I was doubting that I'd even like the show past a given episode, and then all of a sudden, just in the right moment, they would throw in, you know, Hopelessly Devoted to You or Hello or something like that, and it was fun. I really liked that David Arquette had this little storyline going on with Kristen in the end, with all of that is. That was cute. I liked seeing him come back for that. And I honestly wish that Ned touched someone that he shouldn't have to make them die, whether it was, obviously, Chuck's the first pick for a big shocker, or even Digby for a good emotional punch, and especially I wish it was Chuck's dad, but I don't think we're going to be seeing any more of him, oddly enough. While I'm speaking of dads, I really don't know where Ned's dad is and why he showed up in the pie hole in the first place, just to never have an importance ever again. It didn't make any sense. He was watching over him, I guess, and I suppose that's going to come out of the woodwork when we see Pushing Daisies continue on in whatever format it may be doing, as they've announced many ways that it could be going on for. If I had to give a rating to the whole entire series, out of 10, I would probably give it a 7 out of 10, with high points for the narration by Jim Dale. It was very hilarious and had great comedic timing. Also, with Kristen Chenoweth's performance, I think that it definitely deserved the Emmy that it got. I would give a couple negative points to the silliness and whimsicalness of the storylines and the non-continuation of plots. It did feel like we were watching episodes of the week often, and that the plots wouldn't carry over up until the end of the show. The end of season 2 started to do that greatly, and I was really excited to see, you know, the Vivian and Lily storylines kind of wrap up nicely and they finally see Chuck. That was great. And then one final thought is just kind of funny that Olive still doesn't know that... Oh, that's my cat rolling a ball, so you're going to hear all these fun things behind me. Olive still doesn't know that this whole thing was going down because Chuck was retouched alive from Ned's touch. So it's like weird that Lily and Vivian learned that before Olive did to me. But yeah, like I said, 7 out of 10, I enjoyed it enough to get through it, and I don't necessarily agree with the super fans that, you know, started off the show by saying it was the best thing since sliced bread. That, for me, will always be Veronica Mars. Alright, well, I'll be on for Avatar: The Last Airbender. Cannot wait to do that show. It's going to be absolutely fabulous. And thank you very much for tuning in, and my cat appreciates you tuning in also. That's equivalent to a cat's roaring applause to a great one-take performance of recording this bit for you. Alright, guys, you have a great rest of your life if you're listening to this. You know, if I'm posthumous or whatever else is going on. And the ramblings from Mitch Clow for Pushing Daisies Rewatchable end right now.
Hey, this is Kyle, and I actually really loved Pushing Daisies on the rewatch. I know that we had a couple of newbies who did not enjoy it at all, but I loved it a lot the second time. I was able to notice things that we never really noticed the first time watching, because clearly you're going to be more analytical and podcasts, and you are just like, wee, pot of Pushing Daisies. So, anyway, I loved it, and I think rewatchable this round was fun, not only because we had such different opinions, but because it was just fun getting to hear people who really disliked it, and why, because it's such a rare opinion, I feel. So, congrats to Danielle and Ariana for being able to be like, no, I hated this, because not a lot of people hate that, so props to you for facing the haters. Also, Marimo's here, and she thinks y'all are dumb for thinking that. Anyway, that's me. I'm Kyle, and I'm out. Bye.
Hi, everyone. My name's Ariana, and I was a rewatchable newbie this time for Pushing Daisies. So I pretty much already got the chance to say my last word on the show in the last episode of Rewatchable. But to sum up, although the show started off pretty slow for me in terms of characterization, the second season really hit it into high gear, I thought, and I ended up absolutely falling in love with the characters. I fell even more in love with my fellow rewatchable teammates, though. So I'd like to dedicate this section to them. To Brittany, you seem really cool and have a great last name, but we never got to do a show together, so basically I blame Caitlin for why you refused to follow me on Twitter. To Danya, you are the best itty bitty, further proven by the fact that you always wear super cute skirts. To Mitchell, I still love you, even though you are a bully and continuously make fun of me for being a Slytherin, which, by the way, is something I have little to no control over, so your comments are basically racism. To Kyle, I also still love you, even though the first time we met, you loudly implied that I was boring. Obviously, your inebriated self is kind of perceptive. To Christine, you talk really fast, and I really like it. To Colleen, you have a really cool voice that sounds both intelligent, authoritative, yet friendly and no-nonsense. I'm jealous of how this always makes you sound cool and confident, like the hip best friend on a sitcom starring 20-somethings. To Caitlin, you put up with a lot of our bullshit. I'm sorry. We are grateful. To Karen, I really admire how the first time we met, you invited me up to your hotel room. That was really ballsy of you. I could have been a serial killer, and you could have been walking into my trap. To Brandy, I really appreciated having another Latina on this podcast. I think I make everyone else uncomfortable with my Mexican jokes. Although, to be fair, that is probably less because they aren't Mexican and more because I'm just not very funny. And finally, to Danielle, I really admire you because you have shockingly luscious hair. Also because you are a strong, independent woman who can make up her own mind and would never leave her friend alone at a party, nor at Taco Bell. And that's a wrap for now, Pushing Daisies fans. I look forward to talking to you hotties on this side of Avatar.
So that's it for Rewatchable's Pushing Daisies recaps. We really hope you enjoyed our commentary on the series. It's always interesting to listen to newbies go through a show for the first time and hear the superfans relive some of their favorite series. Remember that you can contact us about Pushing Daisies and any of our past shows at any time by tweeting us at re_watchable, emailing us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, or commenting on any of our podcast posts on hypeable.com. Just because we're moving on to another show doesn't mean we're leaving any of the old ones behind. And speaking of moving on to another show, we'll be doing Avatar The Last Airbender as our next series. I'll be staying on the show along with Brittany, Ariana, Mitch, Danya, and Caitlin. We'll also have two new voices in Michal and Natalie, who have never been on Rewatchable before. The show will work the same way as it has been, with new episodes coming out every Sunday. Stay tuned to our Twitter account for updates regarding the show, and we all hope to see you for the next round. Bye, guys!